You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Dwayne's World for On Deck Business Loans. Funding possible the same business day. And Sammy Evans about to join us for rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts with the latest in sport news. Couple of texts, though. Best clearance player, player to win one for your life. Buddha Hocking and Toby Besto came through from Trent. Chris Judd, all-time clearance king. Thank you for that as well. Clary by the length of the Albert Park straight, and Dusty Martin at his peak. Cheers from Buffer. Thanks for that. All-time greatest Port Adelaide player, according to Nigel in SA. In Burnside, Gavin Wanganeen, so it's not Tredray, and it's not Travis Boak. Thank you for that. And Dwayne, Nick Larkey kicked 3-1 on Sam Taylor. All-Australian and the best backman in the competition. Let's see how many Jamari Ugal-Hagen kicks on him when they play, if he's worth 1.2 mil a season. You know what? I reckon if Nick Larkey was available on the market right now, he'd be probably offered more than 1.2 a season. I mean, what would Collingwood give for a Nick Larkey, right? What would Melbourne... There's a number of clubs that would love a Nick Larkey, absolutely. But Jamari Ugal-Hagen is available. That's why he's going to probably get the money. Sammy Edmonds is going to tell us whether he'll get the money. He's told us that Tom Liberatore is about to sign a new deal, which everybody else has reported since. Great to have you. Sammy, welcome back to you.
Dwayne, great to be with you. Geez, there's nothing like you mentioning clearance players there. When you go back and look at some of the highlight packages, I just found myself 5 minutes ago. What, you go down the rabbit hole with these things. Watching, yeah. I plan on watching just a couple of minutes of Fev highlights. 20 minutes later, I'm looking at bags of 10 and 9 and 8. And what a player he was. But best clearance player in my time, with the naked eye, unbelievable when you watch him, was Gary Ablett Jr. Was something to behold when he was in the mood. And that was often just an unbelievable clearance player, wasn't he, G. Ablett?
Yeah, and I think the other part of it is there's players that were able to win clearances regardless of who the ruckman was for their team or the opposition. Just used to be able to read it better than anyone else off the opposition ruck's hand as well, which was part of the craft. So, no, it's a fun topic, and so many people want one here. Joel Selwood for a clearance, one here, best clearance player now. Rowell, putting my life on it. Pendlebury and Dangerfield. So, yeah, Dangerfield won a couple of critical ones as well on the weekend. Look, there's so much to talk about, Sammy. I don't know where to start. Should we start on Tassie?
Well, maybe, but just you mentioned Jamari Ugal-Hagen there and the money that will be on offer for him, and that's stating the obvious. Trucks are being backed up everywhere for him. Now, there is some water to go under the bridge with him, and there is so much contract intrigue at his football club, but I think if you're a dog supporter listening to Savo, Dwayne, you can adopt an optimistic frame of mind about this one, that it won't necessarily matter what the rival offers look like, because there's no reason as things stand to be worried about Jamara and him leaving your football club. Now, there's a stack of interest, as I say, no great shock. Now, that's Hawthorn, Richmond, Sydney, maybe Essendon to name a few. And the forward market, as you touched on, is always fiercely fought for. But he's happy at the Witten Oval. His relationship with the key people there are strong. The pitch is still blurry. It needs to come into sharper focus. Things can always change around him, you know, with the coach and I guess how his side performs this year. At 21, starting his fourth season, should he commit to stay, which I think he will, then what he's worth will be the next conversation, won't it? But that's secondary to the commitment to stay, which still needs to happen. But I think it's looking as positive as any of the three players out of contract at the Dogs at the moment.
May I ask why you think that?
Just people that I've spoken to around it, Dwayne. I just wanted to know
you did made a couple of phone calls and you telling me not to be worried, and I like it.
Yeah. Now, look, again, it's March, so I'd be reluctant to even say that much because it is March, but if you allow me to say it with the prospect that things can always change, as things stand at the moment, he's staying there. So I think if you're a dog supporter, as I say, you should be optimistic, you shouldn't be worried, and you should be glass half full on Jamari Eaglehagen staying. Now, what I guess the flow and effect this is, Dwayne, is these rival offers will be long and they'll be lucrative, right? But they won't necessarily be long from the Western Bulldogs. I mean, they'd like him to stay long-term, but when you're in this position as Jamari is 21 years of age and you're in your fourth year in the system, you're more likely to sign a two-year deal or a four-year deal gets him to free agency in 2028. I think it's either of those two options for him. If he stays, maybe he backs in his rapid rate of improvement. He says, well, give me 2 years now, knowing that at the end of 2026, I'm going to be worth even more again. Then you sign another 2 years to 2028, and then that's your whopper, isn't it? When you've got the free agency trigger there looming over your current club, that's when he gets his big, big payday. But as I say, that's secondary to him staying, but I think that commitment from him is loosely there, and we'll soon be concrete.
Had a few calls and a couple of texts about the news cycle and Travis Boak, etc. And the Nick Dacos story maybe getting more hits, the 50th game as opposed to Travis Boak's 350. Shall I shuffle the Collingwood story you've got up the top of the order? Because this is an interesting one that's going to interest a large portion of our listenership as well.
Again, watch this space on this one because we're going pretty early. But Nathan Murphy closing in on a return from concussion, which can only be a good thing, can't it? So there's no specific timeline on a comeback game, Dwayne. But again, those familiar with the circumstances here believe this to be only a few weeks away. So he's been cleared by the AFL, we know that. Cleared by the concussion experts, we know that. And the Collingwood medicos. And recently himself wanted follow-up scans just to be absolutely sure. He got the green light there to keep playing. But he's been open about the mental battle. And he has battled some negative thoughts and some doubts that have crept in. Now, they've delayed his return. He spent a lot of time, Dwayne, I'm told, working on the mental side of things with his game. That's had some benefit of late as well. We know Collingwood's approach to the defender has been cautious. It's been considered, and their welfare, his welfare has been first and foremost for the footy club as he gets into some more meaningful contact training. But I think we're going to see him sooner rather than later, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's huge news. James Sicily got off, but there was a fine as a little kicker last night.
A fine, yeah. I like what you did there, Dwayne. What you did there. And look, and some people would have the kicking sitting outside the classifiable, you know, the table of offences. And that is a debate, I guess, we can have. But now that it resides inside the table of offence, it's been holding to the same reportable instance as everything else. And a key determining factor of that is not only where it takes place on the body of the victim, but also the level of force. And that was what we told you yesterday. Hawthorn were always going to argue. They felt that it wasn't medium. They used a very interesting case from last year involving Tom Atkins in round 23 with Jimmy Webster that was assessed as medium. And I think we can all agree was significantly more forceful. So we can have the debate on kicking as a rule, and it is an ugly look. That's an understatement. But if it is open to impact and the debate therein, then it's hard to argue against the case that Hawthorn made, I think, because it was low impact.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about this one a while. It won't be the last time Sicily's targeted, though, will it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Well, I mean, history says he's been targeted many times over the course of his career, and it looked as though he had got that out of his game, hadn't it, Dwayne? And this has been a regression for him of sorts, hasn't it? And as captain, can you be as vulnerable as this to being got under the skin of, if you like? So they'll keep coming for him now. It's certainly moths to the flame with this sort of stuff, you would think, in the games to come. Most clubs will try it on, Dwayne, and he's just got to find a way to combat it.
Did Tassie get over 100,000 yesterday?
They're up to 121 at last check. 121,000. In fact, Andrew Dillon told us that at the Sport Next conference that's on in Melbourne at the moment, Dwayne. So 121,000 members at $10 a pop. Yes, they are foundation members. And yes, they might not all be in Tassie. And yes, they might be on the mainland. And yes, it's not as expensive as other clubs. But hey, this is just a great feel-good story and a vote. And a beacon of hope for a club and a nice bit of romance in footy for a state that's long been starved of it. To finally get some time to celebrate a team of their own is great. Now we just need the stadium to get built, Dwayne, as a small matter of concern.
Well, just on that, I asked Jack Riewoldt yesterday, as you know, whether the divide in Tassie footy between the different parts of the state was something that was difficult to overcome. He told me that was a manufactured thing by mainlanders. He also told me that politically it's not going to be that big an issue as well. So my soul was at rest last night thinking, well, the election's not going to be an issue. But then I was listening to Breakfast this morning, and I'm sure you know you've heard this as well, but can I play for those who didn't hear it earlier on or haven't heard it yet? Here's a little bit of Jackie Lambie saying that, well, things aren't quite as smooth sailing for the new stadium and the new team just yet. Here's Jackie Lambie.
Tasmania can't afford it, so why are they putting these restrictions on Tasmania? Nobody else, no other state in Tasmania and in Australia, has ever been asked to supply a stadium with a roof over it. I mean, this is just absolutely astonishing. If Andrew Dillon wants to touch what it's like in Tasmania, hey, mate, I'll put you up for a few weeks. Come and have a look in my backyard in Burnie on the northwest coast, and then you might get a bloody reality check, mate, because we can't afford it in Tasmania. And that's it, end of story. We'd love one, I can tell you. But I tell you, we're not as rich as what they are in Western Australia. We don't have all that resources money coming into us, all that sort of stuff. And we have so many issues going on in Tasmania where they have to be prioritised over a stadium. And it's as simple as that.
So how's that stadium thing going with the politics over there down there in Tassie?
An inviting offer, isn't it? I'm not sure how Andrew Dillon could say no to that offer to go and stay with Jackie Lambie. It sounds warm and it sounds very, very inviting. It's no secret. It's been a polarising topic right from the start, Dwayne. And it was in Adelaide too, and it was in Perth too. Now, we are biased on this side of the equation, given we work for a sport network, and we will always want the stadium built. But Adelaide is proof and Perth is proof that those cities have been transformed by a space that's not just a footy space, but a function space, an event space, a concert space, other sporting space as well. So we can debate that forever and a day, Dwayne. I think it's fair to say that we would love a built and we think it'll work.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do in Queensland now. But, I mean, you can't get, unless you've got, you don't get Taylor Swift unless you've got the MCG. Yep. You don't get Coldplay unless you've got Optus Stadium. And that's what they got in WA, Coldplay. A few weeks ago, the Adelaide Oval now has had, you know, the Rolling Stones, etc. They had huge concerts at the Adelaide Oval. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do in Queensland, even if they don't redevelop the Gabba, but that's maybe another story for another time. Speaking of stadia being filled, Sammy had a caller earlier today. What's my over and under on the Fremantle North crowd? I'd like north of 15,000, but you're a bit fearful we might not quite get there?
I won't pretend to know what the figure will be, other than to say, and look, North fans won't be happy with me saying this, but my response to them would be, we'll just turn up then, because there's some concern over the way the ticket sales are tracking at this stage for this game. Now, this is North Melbourne and Fremantle at Marvel Stadium on Saturday, Dwayne. They haven't played each other at this venue since 2017, when they got a crowd back then. I think they'll be happy with this weekend. Now, that was 19,000. Now, the public sales aren't the only barometer, because members will turn up, we know that. And it's not unusual for them to be low, but they are very low at the moment. Now, the Grand Prix is on. There's some thought that perhaps the North Melbourne fraternity are waiting for the Good Friday clash, which will go close to filling Marvel Stadium as well. And the fact that, I guess, the season opening game from then didn't exactly stir a lot of passion amongst the North faithful. So you'd reckon there'd be some early season optimism, wouldn't you, for first game at home for the year. But at this stage, the ticket sales are saying that's not the case. So there is some worry. Hopefully it's unfounded. But if you're listening and you're debating about whether to turn up and you're a North Melbourne supporter, then get along, grab your scarf and watch this next generation of talent you've got an abundance of, because I think they could do with it.
Sydney don't have any problems getting crowds at the moment. What's happening up north?
No, they don't. And they want a fair portion of them outside. Again, Dwayne, because John Longmire and his players are marching again on Saturday night. The march to the match is back. Who would have thought it? Horse and the players will make the short trip from their new facility there up Driver Avenue and to the SCG on Saturday night. They'll do it from 6:30. So if you're in the area, Sydney are trying to make this one of the great pre-game traditions in the AFL. The players and the staff and the coaches are walking amidst the fans and high-fiving that along the way. There might not be a marching band this time, Dwayne, and there might not be a big arch at the front, but they're going to try and make something of this, so I hope it goes well.
So what are they calling it? Because they need a name for it, don't they, Sammy? It can't be like the horse parade or the swan waddle. What are they going to call it? Because they're going to have it every week and need to attract people to it. 1-300-736-736 or 0433-98-1116. Is it the Walk with the Stars? What are they going to call it up there?
Well, they're calling it the March to the Match, but maybe...
Okay, March to the Match.
I back you in, Dwayne. Maybe you can workshop this and you can come up with something a little bit more creative.
If you've got something better than March to the Match for the Sydney Swans that makes it uniquely Sydney, By all means, jump on the text and send one through 0433 98 11 16.
Hey, how many clubs do songs after goals? I know Brisbane obviously do it, Dwayne, and I think GWS are doing it this year, and the Crows have done it. They've just announced they're doing it again at the Adelaide Oval in 2024. So I know this is a polarising topic. It's very well received in Brisbane. Not sure how it goes down in Adelaide, but every Crows home game this season, immediately after a Crows player boots a goal, his song selection will play throughout the stadium. Well, you want an example? Well, Josh Rochelle, all hoping he kicks plenty of goals this year. He's gone back to his old playlist from last year. And have a listen to this pipe when he kicks a snag. Just a bit of Rocky. For Josh Rochelle, which, of course, is his trademark celebration. So, look, might not be for everyone, but it's back at the Adelaide Oval.
So that's something that the Northern States did that I thought would never catch on amongst the Southern States, but...
Well, there was a furor at the MCG when they were doing a couple of years ago, and they were made to stop at pre-finals. It had been going on throughout the year. And I think Marvel play music, don't they? Not necessarily club-sanctioned songs for goals specifically, but yeah, that's a debatable topic if ever there was one.
So the last club that will do it, who's going to resist until... will it be Universal in time?
No, I don't think so. I don't think every supporter base will go for that. I think... Well, who knows, Dwayne? Times change, and we've all got to change with the times. So maybe we're hypothesising. Perhaps who are we to tell people what they should think? If they want it, they vote with your feet.
Latrell Mitchell, you got a bit of news there. What did he end up getting fined or not?
He didn't, and Triple M have copped the wrath of the NRL. Unbelievably. Now, for those who are wondering what we're talking about, the NRL star dropped, well, I reckon 5 F-bombs in an interview with the radio station after South Sydney's loss to Brisbane up at Suncorp. Now, that was last Thursday night. Now, the fallout, Dwayne, has seen the NRL ban Triple M from filming post-match on-field interviews, but not punish Mitchell for his expletive-laden interview. Now, you know the drill here. Radio partners have only the rights to the audio, not the video. So Triple M have been filming their post-game interviews, so they've been stopped from doing that. Now, his expletives went live to air, so the station probably couldn't dump that, but they made the decision to put the vision up later. Now, I'm assuming it wasn't a live stream, so they put it up later. They had ample time to beep out the swear words and chose not to. So not saying they should have escaped scot-free, but how the player himself has escaped scot-free is, I reckon, quite extraordinary.
And before I let you go, you've got a little bit of cricket news before you depart.
Well, how's this? We've got our sequel to the England cricket team's moral victory claims that, of course, dominated the Ashes last year. And this time it comes via the England rugby team and their coach, Steve Borthwick. How's this? Now, England lost 33-31 to France a couple of days ago, Pipe. Or did they? Because our man, Steve Borthwick, the coach, offered this up in his post-match press conference. He said, "We weren't beaten. We just ran out of time." Do you get your head around that? So France didn't win. The clock just stole this one from England. Unbelievable.
So we've had that. When was it in New Zealand? It's not whether we win or lose. It's how we play the game.
Yes.
We got that trotted out from one of the Kiwis last week. It's become a new thing, Sammy, in sport. Winning might be the worst thing you could possibly do now.
He said, the fight that is there, I don't think these boys are ever beaten now. They just run out of time.
Yeah. Well, we've run out of time with you, but I'd like to have more time for RJ Sanderson and Associates, accountants and taxation specialists. Take the stress out of tax. What sport coming to, Sammy, when winning's not the number one thing? Great to have you, Sam. We'll talk soon.
Swan to the stadium, Dwayne, is an early nomination. There you go.
Oh,
instead
got
of March
a few.
To match. Swan along.
Swanning to the SCG. The Sydney Swagger to the SCG. The Swander is on there as well. The Stupid Sydney Parade. Swan along. Keep them coming. Birds of a Feather. Swans flocking together. Thanks for your text coming through. David in Mernda, you've got a suggestion for the Swans march to the SCG?
Yeah, I do, Dwayne. I reckon we could call it the Swan Parade, or an alternative, we could have it as the Sitting Ducks.
Thank you very much, David. I knew there'd be a punchline to it. You at Dwayne's World, back with more, including Lost in the Wash, straight after the break.